So, I'd love you to have Matthew 5 in front of you. John Stott, you might have heard the name, he was the rector of All Souls Church in Oxford Circus, London, for over 30 years. Very, very famous man. And he once said, "There are people in the world who never open a Bible, but they are forming an impression about God every time they meet a Christian. You and I," he said, "may be the only Bible that someone will ever read." And what he's saying is that our lives can be very powerful pointers to Christ. And the lives of other people, people we meet, can be very powerful pointers to Christ. I have what must be almost an obsession with reading the lives of pastors and missionaries from previous generations. I just finished reading this biography of Hudson Taylor, and I have found it so, so challenging. The way that men like Hudson Taylor and women prayed, the way that they gave, the way they put up with hardship and bereavement. And the thing is, these people were totally ordinary people. There was nothing special about them. But they had this extraordinary God. The same God as you and me. Except that they realized that the God they worshipped was in every way worth it. They understood that people who follow Jesus are supposed to be different. Really, really different. And the way Jesus explains that difference in the Sermon on the Mount is to use these two little pictures of salt and light. But before we go on, I just want to tell you another little story. This one's in the script. William Wilberforce. We could do with an MP like him at the moment, couldn't we? Yeah. I mean, you've probably heard the name. He's very famous because he led the campaign to ban slavery throughout the British Empire, the slave trade. But he was also famous as an author. And in 1797, he wrote a little book called A Practical View of Christianity. It was a bestseller then, and it's still in print today, which is pretty impressive. And he said, the problem with so many Christians is that they have good morals and decent ethics, but they have no room for Jesus. And the problem is that without Jesus, morality gets robbed of what should give it life and nourishment. And when that happens, the morals themselves start to wither. That could be a word of prophecy for today, couldn't it? If you ditch Jesus, in the end, you will ditch everything. If you ditch Jesus, you'll lose the morals and the ethics that you prize. So here's the thing. As we come to the Sermon on the Mount, please don't get things the wrong way around. Please don't think that good morals make you a Christian. They don't. Please don't think that being a good person makes you a Christian. It doesn't. Only Jesus can make someone a Christian. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he is saying, this is what it looks like once I have brought you into my kingdom. Don't do these things because you think they make you a Christian. He says, do these things because you have become a Christian. So let's think about these two little pictures. First, I think it's verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. First, you are the salt of the earth. Now, when Jesus spoke those words, salt was a very precious commodity because it kept meat from rotting, right? Jesus says, you, if you are a Christian, you are to be salt. Everything else in this world is decaying. Everything else in this world is rotting. But you, he says, be different. You can stop the rot. You can preserve the meat. You can restrain. You can influence for good. And you do it perversely. You do it by being different. So don't lose your saltiness. That's what he says. In his day, they used to get an awful lot of their salt from the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea down at the bottom of the River Jordan. But it was a bit hit and miss because there were no refineries, there was no technology, and so you'd often end up with a white powder that looked like salt, and it was called salt, but it didn't taste like salt, and it didn't behave like salt, because actually it wasn't salt, it was just white powder. And in the same way, we can be just white powder, can't we? We can look like salt, we can seem like salt, but we're not salty. You are the salt of the earth, he says. And then verse 14, you are the light of the world. Again, light is such a contrast with everything else. Everything else is dark. But if you're in Christ, you are light. So don't hide it. Is it just me, but every year, around this time, I just notice with great sadness the sharp difference between August and September. Do you notice it? In August, the evenings are still long and bright and light, and then you literally wake up on the 1st of September, and the nights have closed in, and it's dark much, much earlier. Such a contrast. Light lights up the darkness. Salt prevents decay, and Christians, says Jesus, are to do both. We are to stop the spread of evil, and we are to promote gospel truth. I read about a man who started a new church on a really tough housing estate in South Wales. And he says one of the most harrowing experiences that he had took place on Christmas Day a few years ago. He says, I heard a noise outside and I looked out to see a woman being beaten up by a man right outside my front gate. So I ran outside and I shouted at the man and he ran off. The woman got up, swore at me, he says, and then ran after the man. So you might think, well, that's a complete waste of time, isn't it? Except that quite a few other men in that very tough neighbourhood also saw what happened that Christmas morning. But they chose to do nothing about it. And so the fact that the Christian was the only one in that neighbourhood who actually went out and did something, spoke volumes about who he worshipped. You see, what does Jesus say right at the end of that Matthew reading? This is the point. Verse 16. Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and praise not you, but your God. It's the same sort of thing in 1 Peter. Exactly a year ago, we looked at these verses in 1 Peter, didn't we? 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Do you know, friends, if you hear nothing else this morning, I think we really need to recapture what it means to be different. Different. I've got this book here, another little book. It's actually called Different. Okay? And the areas that come up so consistently where we could be different, but we fail to be different, are when it comes to our time and our money. Let me read you what this guy says. The regular meeting of your local church is the best place to hear and apply the gracious word of the living God. The church is what matters most to Jesus. The church is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If your relationship with your church and with the people in your church has no claim on you, has no claim on your resources and your time, then something is wrong. Jesus gives a very clear warning. If there is no, or even just a minor difference between you and the rest of the world in how you view your financial capital and what you do with your time, then Jesus will find it very, very hard to recognize you on the ultimate payday. His salty words are exactly what we need to hear. We need to be radical in how we spend our time and our money. We need to be radical in our honesty. We need to be radically gentle. We need to be radically committed. We need to be radically servant-hearted. We need to be radical in what we read and what we watch. We need to be radical in the use of our mouths. So lots of smiling and no swearing. No gossiping. But we do it not to get right with God. We do it not to get praise from people. We do it because Jesus has made us different. And we have the privilege to be what he has made us. Now, having said all of that, the easiest thing in the world is to be different by being separate. That's really easy. But the point is, salt is worthless unless it mixes with the meat. So look, you know, you've seen the bag of crisps, haven't you? The bag of plain crisps and the little sachet of salt, all right? You open the sachet of salt, you pour it into the crisps, you shake it around, and it affects the flavour of the crisps. But keep the salt and the crisps separate. And the little sachet of salt is absolutely useless. We've really got to see this. Unless the salt mixes with the meat just goes on decaying. If you put a light on and then you hide it under a bowl, it's no good. If I put this torch on, that's really quite bright, isn't it? But if I put my hand over it, it's useless. Absolutely useless. Salt and light Christians. We've got to be different, but not separate. We need to be completely mixed in with the world around us. But the massive challenge, friends, for us, the massive challenge that I wrestle with every day is how are you to be mixed in without blending in? We need to shake the salt and shine the light, but not lose all of our distinctiveness. Have you ever wondered why it is that so many churches up and down this country are struggling? So struggling. They don't have any children. They barely have any people. Why? Why? Actually, the issue very often is no salt. No difference. Therefore, no point. And therefore, nothing to say. Why would you go? Why would you come? But look what Jesus says. It's a serious warning. Verse 13, right at the beginning again. Verse 13, Jesus says, if the salt loses its saltiness, it is no good for anything. Chuck it out. Get rid of it. Rubbish. So we need to be radically different. But at the same time, we've got to be radically engaged in the world around us. That is what it means to live as a follower of Jesus. Both. Consider him, Jesus. How different was he? He was absolutely different to everybody who had ever lived. And yet, where was he found? He was always absolutely in the thick of everyday life, wasn't he? Jesus. And the great news is that if we could be both different and mixed in, we will do what salt does. We will stop the decay, not completely, but we will affect the meat. And we will do what light does. We won't stop darkness, but we will change it. But there's got to be contact. There's got to be contact with the meat. And there's got to be contact with the darkness. At this time, what's going on in our country at the moment, it is so easy, isn't it, just to completely wring your hands with despair and to think, you know what, this is madness. What are we going to do? But if there's no salt, there's no point in blaming the meat for going rotten. That's what meat does. If there's no light in the house, there's no point in blaming the darkness. When we see bad stuff going on, don't blame them. The question to ask is, where is the salt? Where is the light? Where are you? Where am I? We're meant to be stopping the rot and shining the light. So, as we finish, how do we do it, right? This is the big question, isn't it? How are we to be salt and light? Well, I mentioned two things already. Time and money. I just do not think that you can underestimate how different we can be in how we choose to spend our two most precious commodities, our time and our money. See, we live in a world where We are all encouraged to spend our time and our money in the most self-centered way that we possibly can. The world encourages us to do that and pats us on the back when we do. But in the way that we give and the way that we serve, we can be so different. Please try it. Try it. Try spending your money and your time differently. Here's another one. Right? It's not going to apply to everybody, but I think it applies to some of us. At your work, or in your neighbourhood, or even here at church, why not ask questions of other people? Have a friendly curiosity about other people's lives, and then actually listen to the answers. I don't know about you, but I find there is actually no end of people who want to talk. There is no end of people who want to talk, but there is a severe shortage of people who will ask questions and listen. There is a severe shortage of those people. You could be different. You could ask and listen rather than talk about yourself all the time. I mentioned a few weeks ago that, you know, why is it that the Jehovah's Witnesses, who mercifully walked past my front door yesterday and did not knock on it, why are they the only ones who go around knocking on people's doors telling people about their religion? So this autumn we want to start doing a little bit of what they're doing. We want to go and do a bit of door knocking, a bit of telling people who we are and why we're Christians. And what a great opportunity that will be, not to speak, but to ask questions and to listen. I think we'll do an awful lot of asking and listening. And if you were to sign up to do a bit of door-to-door evangelism, in inverted commas, I'll guarantee you something, right? I'll make you a promise. If you sign up to do it, it will sort out your prayer life. You'll pray like you've never prayed before because you'll be so terrified. I promise. But you will pray. Here's another thing. Now, a few months ago, I went out on a litter pick around Denton, which had been organised by my neighbour, who's not a Christian at all. But I realised, as I picked up my litter, what an extraordinary opportunity it is. Litter picking is about the only thing left that everyone can agree about. Okay? Not one person came up to me that Saturday and said, why are you doing that? Why are you picking up that litter? That's ridiculous. I put that litter down, I like it. People don't do that, do they? In fact, if you are litter picking, you are elevated to a position of royalty. People just think you're amazing. I thought, what an opportunity. What an opportunity to have a little tract with me and say, do you know, I'm a Christian, I go to Denton Church, and I'd love to give you something, to tell you something about Christianity. I mean, it's just absolute. I mean, no one's going to go, oh, I'm going to throw it away. I just thought, wow, we're missing something here. This is a big opportunity. So dare to be different. We really have got to recapture what it means to be different. All of us, me included, absolutely. Hold out the gospel. Please don't hold out moralism or churchiness. Those are two abominations. They really are. Hold out Christ. Come to him and he will give you rest. And when we do that, friends, we will, in a tiny way, we will bring change and influence to the world around us. We can be what Jesus has made us, salt and light to a world that is so full of decay, so full of despair, and so full of darkness. So do come and speak to me afterwards about any of those things if you'd like to think more about it. But let's dare to be different as we look at the Sermon on the Mount these next few weeks. Amen.